as we left off last week, we were talking about, even though Mila is necessary and Tefillah is necessary, we pass them both Ma'akid and Yevet, but if the order is necessary, that's a big machlokes. So the Ramban was of the opinion that the order can be reversed, and other Rishonim disagreed. So again, much of the Raya is revolved around the case in Bereshit Hazgaya we spoke a little bit about last week. So the reasons why some Rishonim insisted that the order has to be intact for different reasons. The Ritual claimed that it's almost like a Tovah V'Sharetz B'Yado. The Rashba said it's that the Tefillah has to be the Makapathis. You have to walk out of that mikvah being Jewish. And if you still have to do more steps afterwards, that's the Chisaron and the Etzema Tefillah. But at the end of the day, the Ramban didn't apply to any of these stories. How do we pass in Allah? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted as both opinions. It's a spake of the Dina. So under normal circumstances, we would never be Megayer in this way. We would always insist on the Mila preceding the Tefillah. So Maisa Shaykh Achoya, I once got a phone call. It was in the old days of YU when there used to be pay phones outside the Big Medrash. You guys probably don't even remember way before your time. Okay. There used to be two pay phones outside the old Big Medrash. And I was once walking by and the phone rang, I picked up the phone. It was somebody calling from Peru. What was the Shiloh? That there was apparently a group of people in Peru wasn't clear what their status was or not. And they were all on the way to move to Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbi Nut was trying to arrange that all these Gerusim should be taken care of before they brought it onto the plane. So they sent a delegation, different Rabbanim, out to Peru to be fix this whole story. One of the Rabbanim was a fellow from YU. He used to learn no longer alive, but he used to learn YU. So this particular person was calling the yeshiva with the following shayla. He wanted to talk to one of the Rabbanim in the yeshiva. Apparently there was some kind of an epidemic or something going on that they wanted to get everyone into the mikvah quickly and get them a bris later or something. I don't know exactly what the details were. But some kind of medical reasons they had to get them out of there as fast as possible, so they wanted to switch the order around. So they wanted to know what we thought about that. So I remember at the time, I was like in my 20s, and I picked up the phone, and I said, I felt a little bit funny passing a shot. There was like 80 families or something in Peru, like I thought it was a little bit funny for me to decide after standing outside the YM-based medicine payphone. But I informed the person, I said, as I'm sure you well know, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. I'm like, is every Shabbat now? We don't like to do that. The last thing we want to do is bring 80 people to Peru who are Suffolk Jews. So that was a space factor. We weren't sure what the indicator is in the first place. I don't know, whatever it was. So the bottom line is that under normal circumstances, we would never, ever convert under these kinds of situations. Okay, that was just the Shiraya of last week. But now we move on to our next sugi, which takes up not only a lot of time in terms of the Shurim, but it takes up a lot of issues in Halacha. And it's clearly the most controversial issue of Gevurah b'zman hazeh, and that's the idea of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. So the halacha is that not only must the ger undergo processes of milu tefillah, it's not a mikdash korban, but he or she has to accept the mitzvahs with sincerity as well. And the question is, where does this come from? The Gemara speaks a little bit about Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, Maseches Yevamos, a little bit of Maseches Bechoros. And the question is, what's the source of this idea that you even need Kabbalas HaMitzvahs in the first place? So this is, according to some opinions, a throwback to last week's year. How do you know any of the bit of Gevurah? How do you know you need Mila? How do you need Tefillah? How do you need Korban? So the answer is, you learn it out from Torah. The same way the Klaus required Mila, Utfila, and Korban, so to we, Gevurah, the Deris, require Mila, Utfila, and Korban as well. So one can argue that's the same reason why you need Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, because Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is also an integral part of Matan Torah, as it says, Masa V'Nishma. So maybe that's the source. So what's interesting, the Gemara never spells this out, but maybe it's understood that the Gemara increases the Daf Tes does single out all the other things that were at Matan Torah. Maybe the reason why the Gemara didn't spell this out is because it was so obvious. Mila, we have to bend over backwards to find the Mila. Tefillah, we couldn't quite track down what the Tefillah was. The Korban, depending on how you think the Pesach or Pash Mishpatim, before Matan Torah, Matan Torah, so it's not so simple. Also, that was the ABC, not the Mishpat, that's the favor. So maybe that's so obvious, Chazal didn't even have to bother spelling out what the source was. So if one looks at the Rambam, in Hilchos Isurei Bi, where the Rambam presents the details of Geirus, so you get a little bit of a different impression from the Rambam. The Rambam introduces the din of Geirus by saying, Kishayirtza Adam, I'm just paraphrasing, Kishayirtza Adam Lizgayer, and Verotze Listofef Tachaskashashchina, he wants to become under Hashem Baruch Hu's wings, very poetic, beautiful way, and he says, V'yakabal Olam all HaMitzvahs, and he accepts upon himself all of the mitzvahs. So then, this is what we do with him. And we do Mila with him, we do Tefillah with him, we do Korban, etc. So the Rambam almost presents Kabbalas HaMitzvahs not as the process of Geirus, but almost as the introduction to Geirus. It means, what does Geirus mean? The person says, I want to convert. So we have to define what that term means. What that term means, you want to do the mitzvahs.
it's inconceivable that a person should say, I want to be Jewish without doing mitzvahs. That's a stira. There's no such thing as becoming Jewish without doing the mitzvahs. Now, it's true. We know that a person, Yisrael, afi shechat Yisrael, a person doesn't lose his kedushas Yisrael just because he doesn't keep mitzvahs. A person, even if you, according to Reuben the Rishayim, even if you convert to another religion, you still retain your full kedushas Yisrael. You have certain halachas like a guy. Let's say, lamashal, you can't shech, if you touch wine, the wine comes reif. There are dinim that apply to an ovid of an azara, but we say it's almost like dino ka'akum. But dino ka'akum doesn't mean that if he's makadosh anisha the kedushin ochal, that we assume the kedushin ochal. Dino ka'akum doesn't mean that, let's say, he wants to be chazm shuv, he has to convert again. We assume that he's still has kedushin Yisrael. So a person who is born Jewish doesn't lose kedushin Yisrael by being chote. But to become Jewish, so it's impossible, it's inconceivable to become Jewish without being makabel upon yourself mitzvahs. Because that's the very definition of being Jewish. That's what Rabbi Dalevi writes in the Kuzari, that ultimately the defining feature of the Am Hashem is Shemir HaMitzvahs. In the world, in the 1800s, so there arose many, many movements of nationalism. So those ideas that a nation is defined by its language, by its connection to a geographical place, by its culture, by its customs, by its food that it eats, a million different things. So Rabbi Dalevi writes that whole notion, that's not relevant for us. He says the definition of the Am Hashem is you part the Shemir Tarvah Mitzvahs. So if a person says, I want to become part of the Jewish people, but I don't want to keep the mitzvahs, that's a non-starter. That means you don't want to become part of the Jewish people. The reason why sometimes in today's world we find trouble, difficulty articulating that idea is because we live in a world, a secular world. Means until 200 years ago, what I just said would have been such a dvar, mamuvanim e'elof, nobody would have ever questioned. Even in the Goyish world, they would have understood that. Because until not all that long ago, so until the 1500s or so it was inconceivable. You were either, everybody was religious. It was only a question of which religion you belonged to. I'm not saying everyone in the 1300s was great. Everyone was finishing Shas and, saying Tehillim all day. There were people who are not so from that also. But nobody said it. Nobody admitted it. Nobody. You didn't present yourself as being a not part of the religious community. If you were a Christian, you would belong to this church, and if you were Jewish, so you belonged to the shul, and that's what defined. Everybody was defined by their religion in the Middle Ages. It was a big chiddush in the world, the notion of secularism. That now you don't have to belong to any religion. You don't have to identify with any religion. That's why until not all that long ago in the world, there was no such concept as getting married secularly. That didn't register in anybody's, neither in the Jewish world or the non-Jewish world. There's no such thing as getting married secularly. You want to get married, so you went to the rabbi or the halacha, you went to the priest. So there's no such thing. Now, we live in a world, after Napoleon, after the French Revolution, we live in a world where secularism has entered into our vocabulary. The truth is, for Klal Yisrael as a whole, it's probably a little bit better, because that the whole notion of America, of separation of church and state, is built on that premise that there's a secular world, there's a religious world, and the two don't necessarily have to interact. So in the long run, it's probably good for us to have that set up over here, but we should just be aware, cognizant of that concept. So one of the prices that we have to pay for that concept is that sometimes you go like to a dinner or something, you'll hear this person's being honored, and someone will get up and say, he is a great Jew, he's a strong Jew, and he's a great Jew. Look at the guy. The guy's Michal Shabbos for Hesia. The guy never davened in his life. The guy doesn't wear tefillin. What's about a great Jew? He's a great Jew because he does other things that are good for the Jewish people. So he gives a lot of money to Israel. He's running bonds. In the olden days, when I was a kid, so the way to measure whether a person was a great Jew is if he participated in the Israel Day parade, and he went to Solidarity Day for Soviet Jewry, and that was. Okay, those are very important things. I'm not minimizing any of them, but the definition of being a good Jew means to be a Shema Torah Mitzvah. Without that, there's no such concept. It's a nebuch. Sometimes there are people with Tinnik Shanishmas, so we're not upset at them, we're not angry at them, we're not screaming at them, we're not calling them bad names. But to say that that's the model of a Jew, someone who is a secular Jew, so that's a complete misunderstanding of what the definition of Am Hashem is all about. But getting back to the story, so that's why the Rambam seems to say that for a person to say, I want to be Jewish, but not keep mitzvahs, that's a non-starter. According to the Rambam, Kavos HaMitzvahs is not part of the processes of Geirus. Kavos HaMitzvahs is the prerequisite to Geirus. That's the very definition. That's how you get into the Batas box to discuss. We can discuss being Megariyu if and when you become a Mitzvah. So no matter how you slice it, whether you go down the route of the way other Rishonim seem to present, that the Kabbalah Mitzvah is just one of the processes of Geirus that has to have learned out from Mantar or something, whether you go down the Rambam's understanding, you know, there's Nidabok, which is move on to Elov. At the end of the day, you need Kabbalah Mitzvah. At the end of the day, you don't have Kabbalah Mitzvah, so all the question right that the Geirus is not going to be acceptable. Even though the Kabbalah Mitzvah is such a major component of Geirus, there is a notion in some in the postgame that there's another process that's related to Kabbalah HaMitzvahs that may be dispensable with, and that's what's called Hodo'as HaMitzvahs. And that's a throwback to a Gemara in the fourth Perek of Yilamas, where the Gemara talks about what behooves a Beis Din to do when a person comes to convert. So when a person comes to convert, so the first thing we're supposed to do is try to encourage them not to convert. We want to separate the men from the boys. We want to see whether the person is genuine or not. So we first have to see why they come to convert. Are they coming to convert because maybe they have a Jewish friend, or they come to convert because they think they'll get a better job than the Jewish, they think things will be better for them. So you have to try to see whether they have some incentive that's not necessarily pure. So we have to try to separate who's genuine, who's not genuine. And then we have to start to discourage them a little bit and try to say to them, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world, it's not even so easy being Jewish, maybe you want to rethink it, etc. I once had the opportunity to fulfill this halacha on the A-train. It was years ago. I was sitting on the A-train. And when you're on the A-train, for those who know, anyone that sits down next to you at between 125th and 59th, you're stuck because the train's not stopping. So that's a good 10-minute block. So my luck was somebody sat down next to me who was not Jewish. And they started to strike up in a conversation with me. And they informed me that they want to become Jewish. So I'm watching the train go by, 110th Street, 105th Street, slowly. I said, can we pick up the speed of this express a little bit? And they said they really, really want to become Jewish. And they told me that they're involved with the Shlomo Kalbach at the time, because dates how long ago the story happened, or either he was alive or not alive anymore, whatever, they were involved with the Shlomo Kalbach. And they very much want to become Jewish. So I figured, you know, this is my opportunity to fulfill the sugya. I said to them, nah, you don't really want to become Jewish. And I remember when this happened. It happened in 1991, the time of the first Gulf War. So, you guys were born then? Because we were born then.
I was born that year.
That's like mafchir, that's like scary for me to acknowledge that. Okay, so 1991, I was riding on the A-trains already, big Makai people, and you guys were born. So, at the time, so what was happening? So, Iraq and Kuwait were basically having a war. And who was getting missiles shot at them? Eretz Yisrael. They were shooting missiles at Eretz Yisrael. And nothing to do with the war. These guys, one group of Arabs was fighting another group of Arabs, and Eretz Yisrael was getting hit by missiles. So I explained to this woman who was trying very, to make her case why she wanted to become Jewish. I said, look at the headlines in the newspapers. I said, don't you realize what's going on? I said, there's a war going on 6,000 miles away from here. It has nothing to do with the Jewish people. And the other ones are suffering with the Jews. I said, you want to join us? You're crazy. What do you want to join us for? Stay in New York. Stay in the HM. What do you need us for? So she said to me, no, her destiny speaks Afa B'chein, Igmar says. It was Afa B'chein. So the good news was is that with 59th Street, I did not have to get off the train then, but I did, and I switched over. I don't know what happened there. I'm still riding the trains. So Rabbi Sai, so we're supposed to try to discourage them. In the process of this give and take of discouraging them, even if we see that they're sincere, we want to make sure that they know what they're getting themselves into. So we have to do what's called Hadas HaMitzvahs. We have to start to explain to them what mitzvahs are. So we say to them, you know, the Shabbos out there, Shabbos is hard. Here's a little smattering of Shabbos. Now again, we're not going to give them Shiach Shabbos Mechasa for 5 years. We're going to give them a little bit of Rashi Parakha when you can't do Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, you give them a little bit mitzvahs kalos, mitzvahs mitzchamuras. You don't want to make them feel like life is just impossible to be Jewish. So you tell them some easier mitzvahs and do some hard mitzvahs, and explain them a little bit. But just they should have like a 101, a Judaism 101. And then again, if they want more, so then slowly but surely we teach them a little more, and then if they're really, really ready, then we convert them. So that process of Hodas and Mitzvahs, that's supposed to be done by Beis Din. So the Rambam writes that, let's say Beis Din was negligent, or they didn't go through all the protocol properly. The person came, and he said he wants to convert, and Beis Din said, okay, great, let's convert you. At the end of the day, the guy really is sincere, the guy really wants to try, but he has no idea what he's getting himself into. So when the first Shabbos comes, we say that, by the way, you can't talk to yourself on it. That's half Shabbos. I've never come that far. I don't want nothing to do with that. I never heard of that. So tough. Once it's Makabo, it's Makabo. So Beis Din really did a poor job. They didn't, well, weren't Modiyah Mitzvahs properly. So the Rambam writes, no, but the evidence, okay. But the evidence on Dosa Mitzvahs is not Makabo. So the Pesach Shuvah quotes from the Chem Shlomo, the Gedolei Acharonim, I think Reb Kivegi used to converse with him. The Shlomo writes that the medav amamurim that hadas and mitzvahs is not ma'akev. That means hadas and mitzvahs is not ma'akev. Kabbalas and mitzvahs is about ma'akev. What's the difference between the two? Very simple, says the Shlomo. Hadas and mitzvahs means that we didn't really give you the proper course. We did a very quick chick chock job on you, and we converted you in a week. We didn't have Bob telling you we're supposed to know. But at the end of the day, you were Makabal. You were Makabal whatever there is to Makabal. Now, at the end of the day, no gear really knows everything. We're Magaya people, they haven't learned every single Sivkot from Mishnah Berurah. They don't know every single thing they're getting themselves into. So what does Kabbalah Samitzvahs mean? Kabbalah Samitzvahs mean that I'm accepting Nas and Mishnah, like Kali Sol and Har Sinai. We're Makabal whatever there is to Makabal. So when the day comes, and we'll find out what there is. So that's all included in our Kabbalah. So says the Chavad Shlomo that Kabbalah Samitzvahs Makhe, there has to be a genuine, sincere a Kabbalah, whatever is going to find out about. Even though right now he knows nothing. Nobody told him about Shabbos, Kasher, Shabbos, he doesn't know anything. But he's Makabal. We're Makabal, whatever he's Makabal. So that's called the Kabbalah Samitzvahs. That's deficient in Hagos Samitzvahs. So that's the Makhe. The Beizim did a poor job, and they did him a very, very big disservice, because maybe he wouldn't have joined up in the first place. They did a disservice for him, a disservice to Chai Yisrael, but at the end of the day, the Geirus is good with the other. But if he failed to have a Kabbalah Samitzvahs, that the Geirus says, I don't want to keep mitzvahs. I know about Shabbos, I'm not interested. So Ein Lecha, Lachal Kabbalah Samitzvahs, that's for sure not going to work. So Kabbalah Samitzvahs is Vacha B'diyevin. Hadas HaMitzvahs is negotiable. So this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a couple of Tshuvas of Chaim Eliezer writes. So all the Gedolei HaPosekim write this way, that it's a double portion that the Geirus without acceptable Kabbalah Samitzvahs is the bar of the table. The question is, what does that mean exactly? What constitutes Kabbalah Samitzvahs? What qualifies as Kabbalah Samitzvahs? So there is a Gemara, not in Maseches Yevamos, the main sugyas of Geirus or Yevamos, and a drop in Maseches Krisos, but this Gemara is tucked away in Maseches Bechoros. It's talking about it in a little bit of a different context of something. The Gemara quotes a Braisa that says that when a person wants to be Makabel, to become a Geir, so if he comes to us and he says, Chutz mi davar echad, that I don't want to be Makabel, this particular mitzvah I don't like. I don't want to be bothered with Shabbos. I like my cheeseburgers. So the guy says, Chutz mi davar echad, so the Braisa says, I'm Makabel himself. So your days in is not allowed to be Makabel such a Geir. So the Acharonim raise a Shaila, but that Lashon is almost like a very powerful Lashon. One of the later Acharonim, Yekinah, the Beis Yitzchak, raises a, nothing to do with the Beis Yitzchak for you. Beis Yitzchak raises a Shaila. He says, what's that Lashon? Very, very powerful Lashon, Ein Mekavlin or so. Ein Mekavlin or so, almost like a Lashon Lechetchila. Like, don't be Mekavlin. Sounds like, but wink, wink, but if you are Mekavlin, so with the evidence, okay. So he says, he's not sure what that Lashon meant. So what's the Shaila? What's the suffix? So basically explains that if the guy says, I don't want any mitzvahs whatsoever, I'm not interested in Shabbos Kasher, I don't want anything, so then obviously that's not a Kabbalah mitzvah, so the whole thing is buffalo. But here, he is signing on to the program, but he has a few quirks here and there. He says, I don't want this particular mitzvah, that particular mitzvah. There's some things that bother him. So if he's just singling out one or two things, maybe one could argue that's still basically called the Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So why does the Gemara say a Makabel? So because it's bad advice. Why do we need a Jew around who can eat a McDonald's? Why do we have to deal with this? We better let him in and go. Have not violated Pesach Challah. So the Gemara is just recommending to the Beis Din, ask questions, find out what his agenda is, and if he really is screaming at the top of his lungs, don't be Makabel. You're foolish. You're doing a disservice to him and to Glaiz. So be Makabel. Don't be Makabel. But if you did, if you didn't ask the questions, Beis Din never went, so they didn't get enough young employees yet, so they didn't know they did, and they did a Kabbalah Samitzvah for 95% of the mitzvahs, so but yeah, but that would still be a Kabbalah Samitzvah. That's one side of the Beis Din success. And then he says, maybe not. Maybe we read too much into the Gemara. Maybe when the Gemara says, a Mekabalim or so the Gemara means, that's not a Geirus. You can't be Mekabalim. Why? Because the definition of Kabbalah Smith, it's all not the Torah, and it's not a smorgasbord. It's not like, you know, I like the tongue, I like the shawarma, but I don't like the sushi. It's everything. You have to eat everything. You have to have everything. So when the Gemara says, it's not acceptable. So that's what many of the later poskim, I should sure assume that way, I should assume the way the later poskim assume, not like that side. They assume that Eim HaKabel so is, although it's a little bit of a powerful wash, it really means that this would not be an acceptable game. But notwithstanding the fact that a chutz midavar echad wouldn't be an acceptable geirus, there is a big, big question that Reb Chaim Eliezer raises, a huge chiddush Reb Chaim Eliezer raises about the nature of this din, about the parameters of this din of Kabbalah Mitzvahs, particularly in the realm of chutz midavar echad. So Chaim Eliezer raises the following shot. Let's say a person comes to convert, And we started to give him, you know, a little bit of questions. We asked him, you know, you understand Shabbos, you understand Kashrus, yeah, you got all of them, right? And they say, yeah, yeah, I really want to be Jewish, and I want to observe all these mitzvahs. And the person says to me, listen, Rabbi, let me tell you, I'm an honest, let's talk, you know, honestly with your friends. I really would have a big day for cheeseburgers. And I'm getting cheeseburgers. I have to try, but I'm telling you that I won't pass the McDonald's. I'm telling you this can happen. What do you want from me? I'm telling you the truth. But Rabbi, I understand I'm doing something wrong, and I don't want to, you know, and if you catch me with Aiden and Australia, give me malchus, you know, that's fine. You know, I got that, and I understand that Shemaim, I'm going to have to answer. Rabbi, I'm telling you straight out that I'm going to eat cheeseburgers. So, that's not a chisar, that's a full-fledged chisar. He's becabal upon himself not to eat cheeseburgers. He's just telling us a piece of information. A piece of information is that he has a yitzhara. What does it mean not to be? What does it mean chutz b'davrecha? Says Ruchai Weizer. Chutz b'davrecha means that a person says, "Listen, Rabbi, I want to go share with you. Okay, I like 600 Torah mitzvahs. One of them doesn't speak to me. I want to be Jewish without having to be bothered with the 600 mitzvahs. I don't want cheeseburger. I don't want bas b'chalav to speak to me. I want to be able to eat my bas b'chalav, knowing that I'm doing is the right thing. No one's giving me malchus and shemayim that I punish me. I want to be a 98% Jewish. I don't want to have that 2% bas b'chalav on me." That's called for Sbidabrecha. It's like a marshal. The guy comes in Yom Kippur and he claps Achei. Right? That's the old Betoba Shares Biyadah. That's the Ram Lechus Chupa describes the Toba Shares Biyadah. I forgot the story about Toba Shares Biyadah. One time I had a shot of Toba Shares Biyadah, the real McCoy. Somebody called me hysterical from a certain mikvah, I won't mention which community it's in. It's not in the greater New York area. They called me hysterical. There was a frog in the mikvah. In the water itself. And they wanted to know, does that like impact, besides the hysteria, you know, the shayla, does that impact the kashas and mikvah? So I said, there are three reasons why the mikvah is still kosher. Okay, first of all, frog is not tummy. It's not even finished. Frog is not a mikvah at all. And then one. Number two, it's alive. It's alive. It's not tummy. Even if it would be a dead mouse, it wouldn't be. And number three, that's exactly what it says in kashas shulim, that if the dead sheriff falls into the mikvah, it doesn't affect the mikvah. Before what, he never becomes tummy. By the way, it's my idea, Torah. So that's the only thing that's safe from becoming tummy from the Shemana Shratzim. So the person who called me was not impressed with any of those arguments. They're still hysterical, but at least they felt better that they weren't. It wasn't tummy shratzim. So again, so when it comes to Kabbalah for Tshuva, so we know in the heart of hearts that we're probably going to talk about Shemara again. But we're trying. I mean, we're committing ourselves, but really trying. That's what this guy said. Listen, Rabbi, I'm going to try my best, but I'm going to be honest with you. I may fall once in a while, but I want this mitzvah to speak to me. I really want to rise to the challenge, but I'm telling you, I'm going to be nichshel once in a while. So Reb Chaim Weizer writes, he doesn't think that's called the Chutz B'Davrechad, and even though he doesn't go down to the Beis Yitzchak, he thinks the Chutz B'Davrechad would disqualify Geirus. Reb Chaim Weizer almost like waters down what the definition of Chutz B'Davrechad means. The only way Mamash is not a Kabbalah, it shouldn't be bought, it shouldn't speak to you. So Reb Chaim Weizer almost like challenges himself. And he says, well, what would happen? It's a very cryptic one. It's like a half a paragraph from Reb Chaim Weizer. So then he almost like raises the following challenge. Imagine the guy comes like this. The guy comes to the base and he says, listen, Rabbi, I really, really, really want to keep all the mitzvahs. I'm going to really, really try hard, but I'm telling you, I have Yetzirah. What's my Yetzirah? You know, I'm going to eat not kosher food. So he says, all right, you know, Reb Chaim Weizer, Kapaskin, that's not cool, technically. You know, again, should we accept him? Maybe it's not a good idea to accept him, but the Yevad Geirus would be chal. That's called Kabbalah for mitzvahs. Then the guy says, let me tell you something else. I really would love, I like Shabbos. It's a really, really nice idea, but it's too hard for me. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be able to control it. I got a job, I got to go to work, I got to go to the beach, I got things I got to do on Shabbos. So I'm telling you up front, I'm not going to make it every Shabbos, I'm going to have other things to do, but I really want Shabbos. I understand that he catches me, but basically, he's still a guy, I understand what Chal Shabbos, because he got the whole nine yards. But between you and me, I have the HR for the Chal Shabbos. And the guy says, Rabbi, I really, really want the mitzvahs, and I think Taras Mishpacha mitzvah is a great idea, but I'm telling you, it's not going to work for us. So I want to tell you up front that I've yet to for not to observe Taras Mishpacha. So according to Chaim Weizer, okay, so that's Chutz B'Davrecha. and that's not supposed to be Dabar Rafa. And he goes through all 613 mitzvahs, and he says, I have a real type. I won't be able to crawl, draw myself by from being Sach B'Shem and Mishra. I just can't stop. So Chaim said, it's okay, it's alright, it's fine, as long as you're good. I understand, which happens to our religion. So the guys just pulled the fast one over us. So at what point do we say, in effect, raise Reb Chaim, at what point do we say that the guy is really genuinely accepting mitzvahs, he's just informing us of Yetzer Hara? And at what point do we say that, wait a second, his Yetzer Haras are so powerful that already is an Ois Kabbalas mitzvahs? There has to be some point. Otherwise, you get to, what's that legal term? We always forget the term, something absurdium or something. It becomes, you reach the point of absurdity. That this is not chutz d'avrecha, and that's not chutz d'avrecha. So 613 mitzvahs are not chutz d'avrecha, because each one is just Yetzer Hara. So that's the yesh gvul. So where do you draw the gvul? So this is where it gets a little bit unclear. What he seems to be saying is the following. He's saying that to reach the point where you have to look at the person's totality. It's like, is this a religious person or not? Is he a shomer Torah mitzvah or not? If you're a shomer Torah mitzvah, but you're just tripping up here and there, that's one thing. But if your tripping up is so obvious and so clear today that we can't label this as tripping up onto the wall, this is called a not religious, not observant person. Okay, you're not a bad guy, you're a goy, but we're not going to accept you as a ger under these circumstances. So what criteria would we use to define the person as basically fundamentally religious, but? So there are certain mitzvahs that have just traditionally become almost like the hallmark of a religious personality. If you had to think of three things that really almost make it a break. It means if you observe these three things, we could say you're part of a religious, Jewish religious community. If you're not observing these three things, so then you're not maybe a nice guy, and you may be in a secular sense of good Jew, maybe you're giving a lot of money to the Israeli bonds, that all may be true, but to say that you're a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, we can't say that. So Chaim Moisés says the things that seem to point in that direction are Shabbos. I mean, it's very, very hard for us to make a case to say, okay, he's basically a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, but he's a Bechal Shabbos. You can't use those terms anymore. The guy eats treif. The guy's Bechal Shabbos, he's eating treif, and the third is Tasa Mishpacha. It means he doesn't observe Tasa. His wife doesn't go to the Mikvah. So those are not just like details. That's not like, you know, let's say Moshe, you have a guy, he doesn't have an minion all the time. Okay, he doesn't have Shabbos minion. He doesn't have Mikvah. He doesn't have Mikvah altogether. Okay, it's all fine. You know, he maybe he's not wearing tzitzis, you know, maybe his tzitzis are too small. There are little things here and there. Maybe he's watching movies once in a while. He does things that a shalom kid did, doesn't it? But Bikaron, he's basically he's a good standing of the Torah community. He's just next to me all the Yetzaras. So why is his Yetzara worse? I have Yetzara for Lashon Hara. He has Yetzara for going to the movies. So we all have Yetzaras. We have to hopefully try to be misgovern the Yetzaras. But once the person has opted out, they say, listen, Shabbos is not for me, Kash is not for me, Tasmoh is not for me. And there's nothing left. So what is his Judaism? That he has Pesach Seder, that's Chanukah candles. That's nice, but that's... You can't call the person a Torah observant person because he lights Chanukah candles once a year. So such a person is not considered to be Mekabel HaMitzvahs. So that seems to be what Chaim Ezra is driving at, that you have to almost take a case by case and say, is the person basically buying in with a quirk, or is the guy, the Chalal, not buying in altogether?
What is the makor that it's those three?
So it's not, that's what I'm saying. There's no makor for this. This is almost like a Chaim Moisés like trying to assess at what point. There has to come some point when we say that this is a farce.
And does it need to be all three? We got a three, one out of three.
Yeah. So this becomes a harder call. You know, I don't know if I want to say this on record. But I would almost say, like, I don't mean this in a full halakha sense. I don't mean this in a full halakha sense of the word. But I would say that it could be that 80 years ago, maybe Shabbos and Kashrus would have been the demarcation of what's called being part of the Torah community. Because unfortunately, how you do it? There were people, Mikvah was not as popular as it was 80 years ago as it should have been. So maybe one could argue that a person is still identifying himself as a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, even though he's being Nichshel, which is really a Nisakaris. But. And again, I don't know whether Chaim Moisés was noches this or not, I'm not sure, but I would find it very difficult to say that if a person's coming straightforward and saying, listen, all right, it's not going to the mikvah, that's it, you know, don't bother with mikvah, and to say that he's buying into Judaism, that's a big, big jump. Okay?
How careful do we say they need to be in the details of it? They're keeping Shabbos, they don't know.
Again, right, okay. So that I would say is much more in the realm of the Beis than to be Movir Mitzvahs properly, to explain to them what Shabbos really is. If a person really is Mekabel Shabbos, so the question is, this also gets very, very murky, you know, what does that mean to be Mekabel Shabbos? So you have to almost ask ourselves, you know, when we want to determine whether someone's a Shomer Shabbos or not, so what are some of the things that we use? Does the guy drive for Shabbos? The guy drives in Shabbos, that's Mekabel Shabbos. I can't say that. A guy, takes out watermelon seeds, without being Borea, the watermelon from the seeds, Okay, he relies on this sheet in Rishon, that sheet in Rishon, the guy makes a, he makes Tidei Klerishon, baby wives, degrees of what's called, if we wouldn't scream Chol Shabbos, we would just tap him on the shoulder and say Chol Shabbos, there are certain things that are just not negotiable. So again, it's a little bit of a hard call.
Is this list of
Chaim
Rosh meant to be
exhausted? I don't know. I'm not sure. It's one line you're in Chaim Rosh.
The big three out here, let's say.
The
guy's running around murdering people.
We're
going to say he buys into
Judaism? He doesn't buy into Shabbos Ben Noach either.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. This is what some suggest of Chaim Rosh meant. Again, it's a one half a line of Chaim Rosh.
But what about other very public things, sneeze stress for women? There's some public converts,
Right.
To be sincere, but they don't.
Right, so that's probably much more in the realm of where Chaim Rosh would probably be willing to, overlook in terms of this. But I'm not saying we even follow Chaim Rosh, there's a whole nother mahalach in the sugya. This is just Reb Chaim Rosh's mahalach. Comes from Moshe, and there's multiple tshuvas about Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, but in one of his tshuvas, it's clear as day that he doesn't buy into this whole idea. But Moshe held that if a person really truly comes forward and says that I'm not Mekabel this mitzvah, namely, I'm not going to do this mitzvah. If he really would admit to that publicly, to tell the Beis Din that, listen, I have a Yetzer and I will not be able to withstand the Yetzer to have a Shabbos or something. So Moshe holds that Geirus is Batel Mevutel, Geirus is Batel Min HaTorah. How do I know Ramosha said that? Ramosha had a fascinating tshuva about the following case. In the end, Ramosha was making for a totally different reason. Let's give you just the background of the tshuva. It was Ramosha got a shayla from a woman. You can tell the woman was very, very distraught that she was a Gioress, and she's describing the events of her Gioress from 20 years before. She's already subsequently married, she's a kid, and now she must have learned somewhere along the way this halacha, chutz midavarecha. And she writes in tears to Ramosha the following case, I don't know if she wrote it herself, or she probably went to somebody else and presented to her Moshe, that the following shaila happened when she converted. She was converted right before Shavuos, and she had a job in an office, and she knew in the back of her mind that she has to go to work that Shavuos. She wouldn't be able to get out of work that young thing. And the right thing that she should have done is told the Beis Din that they wouldn't have been vulgar, so they would have waited until after Shavuos. A girl is allowed to go to work at Shavuos. But she wanted to be Rus, she wanted to be part of the Gairus Strachos, from Astara, Israel. She wanted to be Makai Daf before Shavuos. But she knew full well that she's going to go to work on that Shavuos. So when the Beis Din asked her questions, are you Makabal Shabbos? You're Makabal Yontif? You're Makabal Davidin? Yeah, Makabal Davidin. They asked her all the questions. And she said, yeah, Makabal Yontif. I'm going to observe Yontif. And she knew in the back of her mind that she wasn't really telling the truth. And she talked when to work that Yontif. But she lied. And she told over the story to her mind that she did it in such a way. She walked to work like 10 miles. And she didn't write it all during the day. She all kind of kunsim to avoid whatever her limited knowledge was of halacha was. And she wouldn't be at such a bad chilul yontif. But she did sit in her office and whatever, answer the phone, whatever she did on yontif. Now, all of a sudden, 20 years later, she feels miserable. It was horrible. She thinks that maybe, since at the time of the geirus, she was planning on being chal yontif, and she wasn't up front with the baby about it, maybe that disqualified her. In my case, she's married with kids. Who knows? Maybe no geirus is no good. She was in tears. So Ramosha took the shalat very seriously. Ramosha was making for a totally different reason, we'll see in a second. Ramosha took the shalat very seriously, and he raises the question, this is a classic chutzpah of Rechad. That here she's begat, you're saying, I want to be begat, be chutzpah shavuos. So Ramosha is clearly disagreeing with Reb Chaim Moshe. According to Reb Chaim Moshe, this is not chutzpah of Rechad. According to Reb Chaim Moshe, she didn't want to be out of shavuos, haraya. She's walking to work, she's not writing. Next year, she didn't go to work with shavuos. She had a yetzara, she's working with a job. So again, the smart thing is she would have been smart and honest up front. She would have just told the Beis Din this and they would have pushed off the Gerus for 2 weeks. But she went ahead and violated Yom Tov, whatever shape or form she violated Yom Tov. It was clearly the Te'avon. It was clearly a one-time kind of a thing. It was like the person who one time falls into the cheeseburger. And Rav Moshe seriously discusses the Gerus becoming batel. According to Chaim Leitzer, the Shaila wouldn't even get off the ground. Obviously, the Gerus would be chaos. So why was Rav Moshe killed? Not because of Chaim Leitzer. Rav Moshe based in the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin, famous Gemara Maseches Kedushin, where the Gemara says that somebody was going in Aliyah and they wanted to sell their land. He lives in Bavel, he's on a Nefesh B'Nefesh flight going off to Israel, and he wants to sell his house. So he sells his house. The only problem is he didn't bother telling the Rekeah that the reason why he's selling is because he's moving there to Israel. And then what happened to his plans? That fell apart. The day before his flight, and so on, he ends up not going. Now he wants to go back to Lekeach, and he wants to get the house back. So the Lekeach says, I bought the house from you, I paid you money. You done deal, finished. He says, no, but I only sold it to you, I'll das, and I'm going, moving to Israel. I'm not moving there, it's Israel. So the Shiloh came to Rava. So Rava said, Rava said that when a person thinks in the back of his mind, it's a Dvar B'Talem, that doesn't interest us. If you would have written into the contract, you would have told Adam, you would have made it clear at the time that the sale is only a Latanai. Good, so then we would have followed the Mechir Latanai. Tell you on the spot, ask the Kasha, what if you would have followed Mechir Latanai? Don't you have to make a Tanai, Kibish Pateh Tanoi, and Ruben, and come the last, and come. So that's a whole Lomdish discussion in Tyson. What you do or don't have to make the Pasha Tanoi. But this was not even Pasha Tanoi, so nothing was said at all. It was just his Dvarim Shabalei. Rabbi said, Dvarim Shabalei, finish, forget it. Dvarim Shabalei is going to be his Dvarim Shabalei. That doesn't count. So Moshe said, that's a clown called Tarkula. That whenever you do something, you do an action, or you say something, and then in your heart of hearts, you're thinking something else. So we completely negate what you think in your heart of hearts. That's what the Rashi, the famous Rashi tradition that says, that what do you mean, Dvarim Shel Levin and Dvarim? It's not true. You can be Machdish something belayed, you can be Machdish true belayed. There are a lot of things you can do belayed. Just what is Rashi saying in Dvarim? It's nothing, zero. Rashi says, Dvarim Shel Levin and Dvarim means, not that halos can happen in your leg. There are certain halos that can, some yes, some no. Like a nedu and shvur requires dibur, hektesh and doesn't require dibur. So there are some chalos in yebelev, some chalos in nabelev. What the gemara means, vam shalev in gemara means that when you express something verbally, or you do some kind of an action, and now you want to negate those words or negate that action by vam shalev, that's vam shenim devarim. You sold the field, you took the money, you signed the shtar. So vam shalev in devarim. The Ramesh invokes that gemara. It says something over here. When we ask this lady, are you makabel mitzvah? So she said yes. We asked her, are you makabel shabbos? Are you makabel yom? So makabel alatayeg mitzvahs. And we had no way of knowing that inside our heart, if she has in mind, she did all work on the shul. She didn't tell us that. If she would have told us that, even though it was only liyeh to heart, we so we had some kind of money, she would have disqualified the gayers. But she didn't tell us that. So it's not that we don't believe us. It's not that we believe. It's that the halacha is not tayface. The harbach shabbos is not tayface in halacha. Can't be used to negate something that the person says. So Moshe argues that since she didn't tell us otherwise, and she did tell us the care, she told us the opposite. She told us that she is Makabel Mitzvah, she's Makabel not to work on Yom Tov, and then she goes ahead in her heart of hearts and has something else, we ignore what she said. That's the famous psak of Moshe. So in the end of the day, both Reb Chaim Moshe and Reb Moshe would have accepted this Geirus, albeit for different reasons. But then Reb Moshe goes on with the next major Nekuda. Reb Moshe says that, how does this play out in the following scenario? Let's say a person comes to the Megayer and we start to interrogate them. We ask them, are you going to keep Shabbos? Yeah. Are you going to keep Kashrus? Yeah. Are you going to keep Tavis Mishpacha? Yeah. Are you going to daven every day? Absolutely. And we're looking at this guy. We're saying, this is a big joke. We know this is a big joke. How do we know it's a big joke? We have the greatest proof of a big joke. He has a girl who is doing Megayer. But every day, she couldn't kill us about Shabbos. So she's going to make sure that he's going to bring that she doesn't keep Shabbos. So all he's going to come to keep Shabbos. The whole thing is a farce. The whole thing is a sham. On the other hand, the guy's telling us, I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, I'm a Kabbal Yom Tov, I'm a Kabbal Tefillah, I'm a Kabbal this. We got every mitzvah in the Torah. I'm a Kabbal Balev Shalom, I'm a Kabbal Kabbal. And he's cross behind his back. So comes the question, says, Farm Shabbos, I'm going to all day. We can salvage all here. All the lousy garrison all the garrison we have such problems with, that the guy's lying through his teeth. What's the problem? Dvarim Shel Levin and Dvarim, call it a day. So Rav Moshe says, no way. He says, Rav Moshe says, that's a violation of another klal. The Gemara itself puts the brakes in Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim. It comes to the Gemara and says, at the end of Bava Basra, Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim means that I sell you a field, and there's no way in the world the Beis Din never figure out what's inside my heart. Why would Beis Din think I'm only selling you the field because I'm moving to Israel? That's the only reason people sell fields. People don't sell houses a lot. People sell fields, but they don't sell houses for a lot of reasons. One of the hundreds of reasons is they're moving to Israel. So that's called Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim. But you have a situation where any normal, honest person would look at the situation and would realize exactly what's going on, would realize what the person's real intent is. So the Gemara of Vashta says, of course we follow Dvarim Shebleiv. That's called Dvarim Shebleiv Bo Belev Kol Adam. The Gemara uses the phrase, Adina Basa Umdana. The Gemara says in the Ninth Gemara of Vashta, that let's say a guy all of a sudden gives away all his property. The guy's dying, gives away all his property. Why? Because he doesn't think he has a child. Then all of a sudden, they realize that after he dies, that he had a child. He didn't even know about the child. He had a wife, and he didn't say, I'm something. He didn't even know she was pregnant. And it turns out he really had a child. So Gemara says, no, why would that give away every last penny if he had a yoresh? So it's obvious. But he didn't spell it out. He didn't say it. It's the Bam Shebeliev Lev Kol Adam. It's an Umdin Demuch. It's obvious that that's what his kavana is. Moshe says that we can hide behind Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim. That's when it's a quirk, you know, so one kind of a thing that's not so clear, not so obvious. But if it's clear as day that these are the facts, this is what the person's intent is, then how can he accept a shigeru? So if we know for a fact this guy is going to be a Chal Shabbos tomorrow, he trades for us, he's going to be a Chal tomorrow, we can't hide behind the fact that he's going to be a Why is he saying yes to all the questions? Because it's friend's grandmother said, when the rabbi asks you something, just say you do everything. So it's a joke. We all know it's a farce. So anything that we know is a farce, by definition, that you don't, can't apply Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim. So it's interesting that Reb Chaim Oizer disagreed with Reb Moshe's application of Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim in the first place. Reb Chaim Oizer, they overlapped in terms of, you can call them contemporaries in a certain sense, but Reb Chaim Oizer was obvious from the last door. But Reb Chaim Oizer, in a Shuva writes, that Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim doesn't help for gayers. Why? Because the men who are moving the Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim, that's when Allah is focusing on Dibur, Allah is focusing on Maisa. But when it comes to Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, the Etzem Kabbalah is the Dvarim Shebleiv. So if there's something lacking in the Leiv, so then it's a problem. That's called the Dvarim Shebleiv can't have a Dvarim. So Rav Chaim Oizer would never have been Mahsha in the case of the lady who converted before Shavuos. Based on Rav Moshe's svar, Dvarim Shebleiv, that's the bad news. The good news is Rav Chaim Oizer would have been machshir based on his own svar, that's only teyavon, it's not really a lack of kabbal. So Rav Moshe and Rav Chaim Oizer had this running about the nuances of what's called kabbalas and mitzvahs. But when all the dust settles, everybody agrees. Mainly for Rav Chaim Oizer, mainly for Rav Moshe, if it's clear as day that the person's not makabel anything, they're not going to keep Shabbos, not going to keep kosher, not going to keep kosher, not going to daven, not going to make brachas, not going to do nothing. So then this is just a farce. The whole thing is a big, big joke. And that's not considered to be a kabbalah and mitzvah. The whole gerus is null and void. So this, as you can already sense, is one of the typical issues in gerus bisman hazeh. Where do you draw the line of these things? There are a lot of gerus, unfortunately, over the years that were done, that were not done properly, that Rabbanu looked the other way, that they said, yeah, he says he's going to be Jewish. It's a joke. He doesn't mean he's going to be Jewish. The whole thing is a joke. Some people have the attitude, well, it's better that we should be Magaya than because otherwise they'll be Magaya by people who don't know what they're doing. But what you don't know what you're doing, but what you're doing is also not a good gayer, so you don't gain all that much. So again, this is a very, very tricky kind of a situation.
Didn't Rav Moshe himself write in a tshuva that if someone's like converting for marriage and you know that they're not really sincere, but if they're going to go to someone, to like a conservative rabbi, then you should...
Yeah, but that's assuming that they are going to be Mekabel Mitzvahs. At the end of the day, they're going to be Mekabel Mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. That's the punchline, that we really shouldn't be converting them, because the din is that already in Europe, right, the Poskim said this. The Gemara says you're not supposed to be Megayel L'Shem Ishus. If I know that this person has a non-Jewish girlfriend, they're not supposed to be Megayel, a Jewish girlfriend, they're not supposed to be Megayel. But many Poskim write, that's a L'chatchila. We Poskim with din that Megayel L'Shem Ishus is good. So some Poskim write, if there's a big michshol, and not converting him because they're going to go to a reform, because they're going to go somewhere else, and then people can think they're Jewish. So then maybe it's better that we should violate in the sense that din derabbanan, that lechatchila derabbanan, and lamad ha'tovus ha'tzibur. But that's if they'll become Jewish. So it means if we push comes to shove, they'll become Jewish. Whereas if we sense that they're not going to come to Jewish together, again, this is also the throwback that Avram writes this, that in the olden days, so, you know, when the Jewish community was such, it was a religious community, so you were basically in or out. It means there was no such thing as being a non-frum Jew. I mean, again, not that everybody was the necessarily great tzaddikim, but you had to identify with the frum community, or you had to go become a Christian in the old, you know, in the 1500s. Whereas Bezman HaZeret Avraham writes, the lines are don't exist anymore. Those fences, the walls of the ghetto fall down now. So a person could say, I want to be Jewish, but his definition of what it means to be Jewish is radically different than Halacha's definition.
Regarding the not using funds to live in Mubar, isn't the case of selling your house for Aliyah pretty evident, that guy gets a new job in Israel, everyone sees that he's going to Israel and he sells his house? Isn't that obvious that he's selling his house?
Again, because you live in a world of nefesh b'nefesh. You're talking about a guy sleeping in the middle of Bavel, you know, and he just goes with them and says, I want to sell my house. I don't know why he's going. You know, we don't know he's signed on Aliyah. You know, we're not seeing the show of one with Rulam for him. You know, it's a different picture.
If it was,
if it would be clear as day, then it would be an under the middle.
For Chaim Ozer, let's say, you know, the Gerrit didn't say, oh, I just have a Yetzirah to eat cheeseburgers. But then we see he's eating cheeseburgers the next day. What do you assume? It wasn't real Kabbalah, or just as
right, so that's always a very tricky thing. So the basic halacha is, the Gemara is very clear in Yavamis, that once the guy's Makabalah, once we declare he's Jewish, so once the Geirus was done, Kedasu, but then you can't invalidate a Geirus from a Freya. The Gemara says that even if he becomes an Obed of a Zor, he's like a Mumar, so he becomes it's like any other Jew. But the question is, you know, it's not that we're invalidating a Geirus from a Freya. That halacha doesn't have. Sometimes you have to take a look and see, wait a second, well, did we goof? Did we really, really misread the situation? So that comes very, very, you know, very fine line. So if we're convinced that, no, we read the situation right, and 10 years ago, we had every reason to believe that he's going to be Mekabel Mitzvahs, and now even though in heart of heart he didn't, you know, and something went wrong later, so that's not going to invalidate the Geirus. But if we go back and we say, wait a second, we really, really goofed on this one, that there was never Kabbalah Mitzvahs from day one, so that's not a Kiris HaGeirus, that was a toast, that was Mamshah toast. Again, this is very, very tricky. You know, one of the big, big hot button issues in Geirus today about these kinds of statements. So again, as we preface that was Geirus last week by saying that we are expecting that only people who are very, very qualified in halachas and understanding the psychology, also to understand and read people properly, are the ones who should be taking these kinds of responsibilities in terms of Geirus. Geirus is not something that every Tom, Dick, and Harry is supposed to be involved in. It's something that you really have to be. Both understand the Loch and understand the Metzias very well. Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Rav refused to paskin on Shaz the Bechor before he lived with the veterinarians. He used to live in the farms for a couple of months to understand the intricacies of Mumin. So Kabbal Chaimah then, with paskin on Shaz, you have to understand the Halacha, you have to understand the Metzias, you have to understand who's lying, who's not lying, who's saying, you have to get a good sense of people. That's why Rabbanim are not supposed to rush Geirus. That's part of the reason why we have a year wait or whatever it is. Yeah, it's because you want, time will tell just how serious the person is. If the person is during the year of training, they're not doing anything, they're not really indicating there's any real movement in terms of person, it's just no responsible base, then we'll convert them. Okay, so again, so we pretty much finished for this purposes the process of Geirus per se, in terms of the needle tefillah, according to Rambam, maybe most of it's not even part of the process, but it's an integral part of what was Geirus. And now we move on to just a very, very... just the very end of the shit today, the role that the Beis Din plays. And the role that Beis Din plays may be very, very much linked to Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, because, according to many Rishonim, the primary role of Beis Din is to make sure there's Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. According to many Rishonim, the meal of the Tefillah can be done without Beis Din, even Nikra Din. The whole purpose of the Beis Din is to be revived that there's an authentic Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. So we're going to talk about that as we go on, what the role of Beis Din is or not. But before we talk about what the role of Beis Din is, let's just define for a moment what it means to be on the Beis Din. What world is that all about? So the necessity for a Beis Din in Geirus is absolutely cool, but the Gemara says it very, very clearly in two places in Maseches Yevamos, that Geir Tzach Shloisha, that a Geir requires a Beis Din. A Beis Din was always defined, at least for now, as three Dayanim. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, the Gemara says, Mishpat Ksiv Bei. The Torah uses the word mishpat lagir in a few places. One place says mishpat echad yulachem lagir garenchem. One place says ushvat dem benishu benichem v'men geiro. So a combination of different mekaros and the chumash that geiros takes on the status of a mishpat, of a din, and the necessity for a beis din is absolutely critical to the extent that the Gemara says explicitly that yesh is gai b'nol v'natzmo, that the ger converts on his own, not under the auspices of a beis din. And the Geirus is Batal Mavutal, he's a Goy Gomim in HaTorah, that the Beis Din is absolutely Ikuva. So when we speak about Beis Din, we really have two different questions to ask. We have to understand what constitutes a Beis Din, what's what goes into the definition of a beis din, and then number two, which part of geiros is the role of beis din so critical? We spoke about a lot of passages about mila, tefila, korban, mitzvahs. What exactly is the role of beis din? So, in terms of defining what a beis din is, we already run into a very, very serious problem. Because before we can talk about a beis din for geiros, we have to understand what a beis din for mishpat is. If the whole source is from mishpat, the whole source is from dayanim, so what constitutes a beis din for the purposes of mishpat, of dinim hamidus? So it's a very simple sugya, right? The first mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin. The only problem is there are two blot in the Gemara to try to figure out what exactly those words mean. What exactly constitutes a beis din? So the first mishnah Sanhedrin speaks about dinim hamidus b'shlosha. So even that phrase itself is highly controversial because we're not even 100% sure that that's always true. So the Gemara at the very beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin breaks down all of dinim mamnas into two different categories. There are dinim mamnas that are called gezelos v'chavolos, and the dinim mamnas that are called hodos v'halvos. So gezelos v'chavolos is usually like baba kama sugyas, like did I damage you? Did I steal from you? Did I, you know, those kinds of things that beat you up. Those are gezelos v'chavolos type of dinim. Hodos v'halvos, you usually more baba tiba v'asher kind of sugyas. Did I lend you money? Did I give you something to wash? Did I sell the video, etc.? In law school, they usually call them, you know, torts versus contracts. Okay, so torts described by Bava, and contracts is Bava. I always, I never went to law school, but my roommate, and, you know, my rap was my roommate, he did go to law school, and he used to have his law books sitting around the room all the time, so I probably read them more than he did, but actually, I shouldn't have said that, just kidding. But I used to always like Torah. It's not a contrast. I love Bamitzia, but not a contrast. It was like, they were usually pretty boring cases. Torah's for Geschmack, or Torah's, you know, this guy is beating up this guy, this guy's ripping off this guy, stealing this thing. You know, there was much more action, much more drama. Once I was on jury duty, and the case was much more boring. It was like I don't know, some guy was suing some company about something. It was some Irish kind of thing. So the judge was trying to figure out who's going to sit on the case. So he went around asking everybody, you know, what they felt. Is there anything about the case? You know, do they have any gifts for them? Are they related to anybody in the case? Oh, they're really kind of. So there was one guy who was in a little clowny. He said, "Your Honor, I can't sit on this case." The judge says, "And why not?" "Because I'm going to die from boredom." I wasn't too impressed with that. Okay, anyway, so there's torts and there's contracts. So the Gemara discusses the Gemara. How many of you need to vote? Either one. So we have to learn that sugya a little bit. We'll talk about the sugya Hashem next week, because that sets the stage for how many dayanim you need for mishpat, and that ultimately sets the stage for how many dayanim you need for geiros. So even though the Gemara does say in one place, two places, getz or shloish, it's an absolute chayk for yavar. Not so fast, not so simple. Maybe we can water down the definition of what a beis din means. We have to learn a little bit of Sanhedrin, hopefully Mitzvah next week, to understand a little bit better what beis din means, and then be able to plug it into the necessity of a beis din for geiros, and then hopefully to see, once we've established what a beis din is, then to understand what the role of beis din is, which parts of geiros are so critical, which parts maybe we can do without the beis. Okay, Mitzvah next week. We'll